This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good Friday to you, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us. You know, the NBA, we were talking about this yesterday with our basketball insider, and we talked about the geography of the way the league is working right now in terms of how good the Western Conference is and how really one-sided, even though Toronto is playing good and even though Boston's playing good, how one-sided the East is. This is not a new problem for the NBA. They've had this issue for many, many, many years where the Western Conference was better than the Eastern Conference. It would be nice if there was some more balance, because you would definitely want, as you have a league and you're doing national games, that you'd have an early game that was compelling because it mattered. It felt like it mattered. And then you'd have the West Coast game, which you know it mattered, right? Whether if you have the Houston Rockets against the LA Lakers, you know that there's some significance to that even in the regular season. But when you have like Indiana versus Philadelphia, it just doesn't say, pack the same punch. It does go a little deeper though than the top level teams. I mean, you look at Milwaukee and they've got the best record in the NBA, and Toronto is having a very, very good season. But they're 8 games behind Milwaukee in the conference standings. Whereas you look at the West, even though Lakers have got a nice little cushion over the Denver Nuggets, you go all the way down to the teams outside the playoffs looking in that are starting to gain momentum. And even the 8 seed, Memphis, have fallen lately, but are still a pretty good team when they have their act together and have a little bit of health. But New Orleans with Zion Williamson are proving to be a much better team with him than they were without him. And now they are making a move towards the bottom end. Dallas, Luka Doncic has been in and out of injuries, but when he plays, he's a triple-double threat. They're a 7 seed. You can look at the West and grab any 10 teams down and grab 2 of them and pluck them, put them together. And you've got a good matchup. You've got a compelling matchup. And you cannot do that in the East at all. You're not going to grab Charlotte, for example, 2 spots out of the 8th, match him with Brooklyn, and get people really interested in that matchup. You just can't do it. And even so far as like Miami, which has been struggling lately, they've only won 3 of their last 10 games, going up against an Indiana team. It's not the same. It's one thing when you're really celebrating excellence like we are with Milwaukee, but it's another thing when it comes at the expense of everybody else.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. So you know that the combine teams do their due diligence on prospects, right? They find some background and they ask you a little question, or sometimes they just want to ask you questions just to see what kind of personality you have. Maybe they'll ask what kind of tree you want to be, that kind of thing, right? Those kind of questions. But for TCU defensive tackle Ross Blacklock, he was utterly surprised when the Raiders asked him about his 37 parking tickets that he got while a student in Fort Worth at TCU. In fact, Blacklock didn't even know he had 37 parking tickets at TCU. Now, to his credit, he said, look, they take the money right out of your student account. So when you have a parking violation, apparently they just grab the money, which, by the way, I don't think is actually really fair, to be honest with you, because, I mean, shouldn't you be able to contest a parking ticket before you?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be able to say, whoa, 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 before you take money, you can't just take money for a parking violation that may or may not happen. Okay,
but not only that, but is that a red flag for player or for a team?
Well, here's what I would say if I was the Raiders, okay, because I thought about this. If I'm the Raiders, because he didn't know he had 37 parking violations,
yeah,
because he said he had the money taken out of his account. So one, how do you not know you had 37? Like, right. Did you know you had 28? Is that his excuse, or did he not know he had any? But two, this is when you grab the kid and go, okay, come here. We might be taking you, and when we do, you're getting a financial advisor, because apparently you were totally okay with the school taking money out for parking violations, and you seem to not know anybody took any money out whatsoever. Like, you were totally caught off guard by this.
I look at it this way, too, is that, you know, he's not aware of his own situation.
Right, right.
Like, I mean, did you never see a ticket on your car?
Yeah, because I can't imagine that they just go around and go, parking violation, take his money, parking violation, take his money. Oh, one day they'll wake up and realize they don't have as much money as they thought they did, and then they'll come to us and we'll tell them they had parking tickets. Don't you get a ticket and then you realize they're going to take $20 or $25
usually,
or whatever?
Right.
Right. How much how much is a parking violation at TCU that 37 of them made you so unaware financially that you were paying something you probably didn't need to pay? Were you parking in the same spot all the time and did not realize that it was a parking violation? Like, what did he do? Park in front of the stairs of the building? Like, drive right on the lawn and just like, I'm parking here. Like, was he parking in the handicap zone? I mean, where were you parking on a daily basis that you racked up 37 of these bad boys?
All right. I'm looking at the list here. You said okay. TCU, correct?
TCU.
All right. So you have your standards. If you're parked in a handicap space,
yep,
which he probably wasn't,
that.
That's 250.
Right.
If you're parked in a fire lane, $100. Okay. So out of all the ones that are on here, the one that's most likely, I would say, is no current parking permit, right? Or permit not permanently affixed.
Okay, so that seems more reasonable for him, for his...
Or versus improper permit for space used.
Okay. So what we're saying is if he parked 37 times in a handicapped spot that he did not know was a handicapped spot, he would know he lost $3,700 or whatever it costs.
You would hope.
Right, exactly.
So 37 times?
Yeah, 37 times.
Get 37 out the old calculator here.
37 parking violations.
Okay. So the going rate for a parking violation for no current parking permit or permit not permanently affixed. So basically, if you don't have a parking pass,
right?
$75.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa. $75.
Yeah. And you
if you don't have a parking permit,
and you said that 37 times.
37 times.
That's $2,700.
Okay.
Or,
so
actually, just shy of $2,800.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So again, if this is the guy you take, you get him with a financial advisor so he can monitor his account.
I mean, say if he had improper permit for space used, right? Say he has a parking pass, but he kept parking in a spot that permit wasn't good for.
Right.
Like, he has a permit for parking lot A, but he kept parking in parking lot J.
Right, okay.
And so that's a $50 fine. The cheapest parking violation on here is $50, by the way.
Oh, wow. So we're still talking a huge chunk of change.
Yeah, that's $1,850.
Okay, so, let's return from La La Land for a second where he did not know this money was taken out of his account. He had to have known that was money being taken out, even if he was taken care of, if you know what I mean.
You're not hinting at anything, are you,
right?
Tony? We just had a whole thing on this yesterday that's a big no-no, SMU.
See, here's how this article from the Mercury News describes it. He goes, because they're talking about the Raiders, so... He said, however, unfathomable it may seem not to know the scope of his vehicular issues, Blacklock did offer up a reasonable excuse by noting TCU took money for the infractions directly from his student account. That's a terrible sentence. It isn't unreasonable that TCU took money out of your account and you did not know of it. That's not reasonable. It's not reasonable that you lost this much money and were completely and utterly unaware that you were losing it.
I mean,
right? You're not keeping your checkbook. You're not keeping your account balanced. You're not keeping a checkbook. You're not monitoring your finances. If the school is constantly going into your account and taking $50 a pop 37 times, you were completely unaware of that? That is bad That is bad money management. That's not reasonable.
Not at all.
We just tore that to shreds. That is an unreasonable answer as to why you had 37 parking violations and did not know about it.
And if I'm on the other side, if I'm the general manager and I'm looking for a new wide receiver, he's not the guy I'm going to look for.
Right.
Simply because, like, okay, well, you're absent-minded in that aspect of life that you didn't notice that anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 was taken out of your account.
I mean,
how do I know you're going to remember which route to run?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, for example, like, let's say you owed the IRS like $3,000. All right. And you notice that they went right to your HR department and they were like, we're taking $100 paycheck. Like, oh no, like, let's say you owed them $2,600. Like, we're going to take $100 a paycheck and twice, you know, every 2 weeks, and it'll be done in a year. You'd know the second you got your paycheck.
Yep.
That there was something wrong, right? You'd be like, whoa, 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 this is $100 short. And like, oh yeah, 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 but you have some back taxes. The IRS came in. They're siphoning your funds. You'd be aware. This kid had a bank account or a student account of money. They went into that account and took money out of it. He was like, oh,
no, I'm going to assume something. Having never had my own student account of money, I've never had that.
Right.
So I'm going to go off a weird assumption that it's probably used for books. It's probably used for food.
Sure.
I don't know what else you would need to buy on campus. You know, clothing, maybe. That you were, maybe you had a card and you went to go get food. And did you not? Was there a time where you didn't have enough money? And go, well, that's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Or like, did you not even think twice about it? Like, oh, well, oh, well.
You and your buddies are going to get some extra large.
Boosters.
Yeah, you and your buddies are going. You and your buddies are going out to get some extra large froyo, right? With sprinkles and a couple of like gummy bears on top. And you're like, dude, I got this. I got this. And they swiped your card and it was declined.
Does that lead to the next account or next, I guess, area that we should look into? He never used the card?
Maybe he never used the card. That's another thing.
Maybe he always had an envelope of cash on hand.
Good point.
That he didn't have to use a card.
Look at us. Folks, you're not going to find this kind of detailed analysis of somebody's life on campus than you're going to find on this program. We just totally debunked the whole idea that this wonderful football prospect should have absolutely known he had 37 parking violations at TCU.
Come on. I don't care how well off you are. You could be Tillman Fertitta, who, by the way, had his identity stolen recently.
Right, I heard about that, yeah.
A lady opened up a 15,000 credit card. The first question I had was, like, did he even bother going with the hassle with the credit card company, or did he just pay it?
Yeah, right, exactly. Just clean this up.
Yeah, because you got to provide paperwork. You got to go back and forth. And he's probably looking at, like, 15 grand. Here, I'll just pay it.
So... Yeah, no doubt.
But
listen.
You would know.
I take every one of my family members and give them like a third degree when there's $10 missing out of my wallet.
Yes.
Right? It's like, wait a minute, come here. Kids, I want to talk to both of you.
I ripped my son a new one the other day because he just took it upon himself to go spend, you know, $5 on PlayStation. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, nice.
You know, he's like, Dad, it's just $5. Like, I don't care. It's the principle.
Right. Principle of the thing.
You need to ask me. That was my money.
You want to grow up and be like Tony D, who took $20 from his dad for losing a Super Bowl bet in high school? You don't want to be that. You don't want to go down that dark road.
Yeah, go get a job.
That level of criminality. You don't want to do that. Right? It's so funny.
But I guarantee this. I guarantee your dad would have noticed if $3,700 was missing.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. No doubt. No kidding. No kidding. By the way, props to the Raiders for digging deep into this guy's life to figure that problem out.
I guess, you know what? I mean, how disappointing, right? You were probably all into him. Like, well, let's do a background check on him. Let's really get into it. Let's ask around about him. We're really serious. He could be a good compliment for Derek Carr. Maybe he's the replacement for Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree because they need a receiver. And then they find this story, and then it's all downhill. It's like, well, let's see if he has an explanation for it. And he's like, well, I didn't know.
They send Columbo down to Fort Worth?
They had to.
All right, tell me, was it 35 parking tickets or was it 37? And you telling me the money was taken out of the kid's account?
And he's reporting back to the Raiders, and the Raiders are like, oh, we got to ask about this at the Combine. That's great. God, can you imagine though? Real quick, on a serious note though, can you imagine you're going to the combine, like, and you don't, like, you seriously, you're a kid, you've made mistakes, you've done, you know, you probably, I don't mean like criminal mistakes, like you've made mistakes, you've probably done some things, and you don't know, like, these teams are like digging deep into your college life, and they're like, by the way, when you were in English class, is it true you peeked over Susie Litch's test and copied her answers? Because it seems like your professor thought you did. Did you do that? And you're like, what? Like, can you imagine that being like that kind of scrutiny?
That is kind of creepy when you think about it.
It is creepy, right? Like, they're digging that deep into your background and on college campus to find, because they want you to play a position for them in the National Football League. That's nuts. That is nuts. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's if you want to chime in. As we continue along, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Glad you could join us. All right, coming up, the Astros sign stealing scandal. Could it actually be good for baseball? There's one thought. That's next, SB Nation AM.
This is... Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, say big during the O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Days sale with great deals on socket sets, wrenches, and more. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity, because right now you can get a 57-piece quarter-inch drive ratchet, socket, and bit set for just $24.99 plus double rewards points, which means you'll get to your next reward even faster. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So the Astros sign-stealing scandal could be good for baseball. There is one argument that is being made about this, and that is that now baseball has a different way of presenting itself to the public. The sport really was trying to find a niche. It was trying to find something with maybe a younger crowd. It was talking about changing the way its game was played because it wants to be faster. They had toyed with some crazy ideas like extra innings should start with a man on second base because we want to get these games over with. Like, we're going to play around with the postseason now and create a reality show because the kids seem to like reality shows. Like, it's trying too hard to appeal. Now, obviously, some of these rules will never get implemented, but at least there were trial balloons that were thrown out there because it's in a little bit of trouble. But, and this is the argument that's being made. Roger Sherman makes this at the Ringer, that because the sign stealing scandal is kind of unique, not unique from the stance of stealing signs, that's always been around, but think about the way the Astros did it. They did it by banging on a trash can. Like, they didn't do it with, you know, in these ultra modern ways. They figured out how to electronically see the pitch, decipher the code, and then used a trash can to relay those signals. Now, you may not like that. You may not feel like that's, you know, that's worthy of punishment and all that. But you got to admit, and this is the argument that's being made, you got to admit it's unique. You got to admit it's clever. You got to admit it's kind of, I got to be honest with you, kind of interesting in a way. And baseball doesn't have really anything interesting. It also has a villain now. And this is what we've talked about before, how the Astros are just a hard team to dislike. They were a hard team to dislike before this, and they're now going to be a disliked team because of this. But when you think about Jose Altuve and George Springer and Alex Bregman, they're really kind of likable guys. They're not really, they never gave you a reason to dislike them up until this point. But baseball could use a villain. Baseball could use a heel. Baseball could use somebody to root against. You've got people like Mike Trout speaking against this, where Mike Trout can now be on this podium of virtue, right? Going down, looking down on the sinners that are the Houston Astros, right? And now you can take other players and you can put them on that same level, that same pedestal. And no matter how you want to frame that and how maybe hokey that sounds, that's always good for a story. That's always a good narrative to have. Maybe you root for the heel as they try to rise back up from the ashes of their crimes. Maybe you root for the good guys because they were cheated out of something and they're now trying to get that back. I know it sounds hokey and I know it sounds cheesy, but in the end, it's something because baseball didn't have anything. It really didn't. It was trying to tell you Mike Trout was a really good baseball player, and he really is. Trust us, he really is. I know most of you don't get to see him, but you got to trust us, he really is. The numbers don't lie. You like numbers? Here are the numbers. I know you don't get to see him, but trust us, he's really good. That's all they had, right? And in the end, this might be something interesting, right? If you're living in a baseball town and you happen to be one of the cities in which the Astros are going through, you might be interested in going to a game to just, you know, to show your displeasure, at least for this season, as to what they did 2 years ago. Right? There's a conversation now about the sport. There's a conversation now about something that even though baseball would hide its face from, it's actually a conversation. Right. And so now you've got the stars of the sport becoming the vocal heroes of the sport. I don't want to use heroes all that, you know, that loosely, but that's basically it. Right. That's basically it. And you have the Astros in a very Lex Luthor way came up with a diabolical plan to cheat the system. Right. It makes for a little comic book. It makes for a little conversation. But again, the point isn't, is this the best thing for baseball? No, but it's better than nothing. And baseball had nothing. It tried to get you to care about Manny Machado going to the San Diego Padres. And by May 1st, you forgot he was there. Right. And the only thing that made the World Series or the World Series run by the Nationals really compelling was one, they started off terrible without Bryce Harper and they started without Bryce Harper. Like these were, you know, so it doesn't come up with great storylines. It doesn't come up with great angles for the season. It tries to sell you nationally people you don't get to see daily. The NBA knows where its bread and butter lies, right? The NBA will say to you living in Presque Isle, Maine, and Miami, and Philadelphia, and Virginia Beach, and all those places on the East Coast, they'll say, look, we know LeBron James and the Lakers are a draw, and you may have to stay up for this, but believe me when I tell you, you're going to at least get to watch them. If you put some effort into it, you're going to watch them. Right. And you know, Giannis is going to play great when he's playing. You know, we're going to put him on TV, too. You don't even have to live anywhere near Milwaukee, but you'll get enough of him. And by the way, we're really catching the Zion buzz and you should, too. So he'll be on TV as well. The NBA knows how to do this. Baseball can't do this well. Right. Its only real game is Sunday night baseball. It doesn't have other national games. Every now and then Fox has got a game of the week on Saturday afternoon when it's really nice outside and you probably should be doing something outside anyway. It doesn't present its stars very well. So what can it give you? What can it give you? Well, how about this? How about a real villain? How about a team to dislike? A real team to dislike that did something wrong, but did it in kind of a clever way. Like I said, there's conversations about a buzzer, but there's no evidence about that. But you know what there is evidence of? They took a trash can and they banged it a certain amount of times to signal when a pitch was coming. Like, you know how sometimes your kid does something wrong, but you secretly admire the way they went about it, but you never tell them? Like, you never tell them? Like, your kid cheats on a test, but he does it in such an unbelievable, like, Machiavellian kind of way. You go, that's pretty clever, man. Like, you don't, like, you tell your wife, you're like, man, that's pretty smart. Like, you know, obviously we're punishing. Yeah, we're grounding him. Don't get me wrong. We're grounding him. Yeah, you know, he did something wrong, but you got to give the kid credit. I mean, he really tried to get out of this pickle in this way. Yeah, all right. That's kind of the way you could look at the Astros. You could be angry and ticked off, and you should be. I mean, they cheated the game. But they came up with banging a trash can is one of the most silliest things I've ever seen in terms of cheating, and yet they made it work.
Yep.
They found a way to make that work. They did.
It's simple.
It's simple, and yet it was...
diabolical.
It was diabolical. Right. It was Lex Luthor at his finest. Right. Right. I mean, only Lex Luthor could think of sending two nuclear missiles to the opposite ends of the country because not even Superman's fast enough to get both of them.
Yep.
Right. And and now you have, again, Mike Trout. Right. You have these stars of the game speaking out publicly, standing on the pillar of virtue, looking down at the Astros. I'm sorry if you're Rob Manfred. Maybe this isn't the publicity you want, but it's the publicity you get. And it may not be all that bad. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hey, guys. It's time to talk manscaping, and you know it can hurt if it's not done right. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The engineering team, 18 months, they have perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new Lawnmower 3.0. This third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade that prevents manscaping accidents. Now millions of balls are going to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Accidents are a thing of the past now. Premium, the battery lasts up to 90 minutes. You can take a longer shave. And the coolest feature is the LED light, which illuminates the grooming area for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And the charging stand, you're gonna show it off. It's powered by USB. It's rapid charging. It's intelligently designed. Right now, you can go on Manscaped.com and you can get 20% off with free shipping using the promo code SB Nation. That is 20% off with free shipping, SB Nation at manscaped.com. Go there right now. And again, you're going to thank me for this. Manscaped.com, 20% off plus free shipping with the code SB Nation. Your balls will thank you. All right. So I was bringing up the Astros being villains. And Ron, like, looked up. What did you look up? You had
made a comment that, you know, they pretty much have gone from heroes to villains. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, are they embracing it? They don't really know that they're the villains of baseball yet. Or maybe they do by now.
Right.
And that just got me thinking, like, oh, you know, I wonder what, and because you were bringing up characters and stuff like that. So what characters out there, I wonder if there is, like, a simple thing. Characters who are villains that didn't know they were villains.
Didn't know they were villains. Okay.
And so I stumbled upon this website, looper.com, in an article. Just, I wish I could credit a certain writer. Just says Looper staff.
Oh, okay.
And the title of the this article is Characters You Never Realized Were Villains. And I sat there. I was like, you know what? That's the Astros.
That's the Astros, right.
So I'll give you a character and say he is the, you know, the Astros are the blank of baseball.
Okay.
So the first one, just to give you an idea, I think this one's absolutely brilliant, of characters you never realized were villains. First one off the bat, John Hammond from Jurassic Park.
The guy who brought the dinosaurs back.
Yeah.
Because he brought the dinosaurs back?
Because he brought the dinosaurs back.
Right.
Killed a lot of people.
Right. And in Jurassic World, they were like, instead of letting them die out like we rightfully should have, they wanted to protect them and put them on another island and keep them alive and things like that.
I mean, it says everyone assumes that Dennis Nedry is the villain of Jurassic Park. That was the Seinfeld
Wayne
neighbor.
Wayne Knight's character, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was pretty bad. But even after one of his workers is killed by a velociraptor, Hammond doesn't even blink twice.
No, not at all. That's so true.
He just brings in more guys and goes, let's get this going. Come on. I'm bringing in dinosaur experts to validate my park.
Remember at the beginning of that movie, that guy got sucked into the, and then
yes.
the hunter, he's like, shoot her. And John Hammond's like, no. Like he literally has a beast that when they lower a cow and he strips it to the bone in 30 seconds.
But they break the mechanism.
Right, the mechanism that lowers the cow
crane
in.
Or whatever is falling apart and falling in there. I'm sure there's like just bits and pieces of metal and canvas inside the velociraptor cage.
That's a good point. Well, all right, the next one.
So the Astros are the John Hammond of baseball.
All right, that's a good one.
How about this one? Morpheus from The Matrix.
I get where you're going with that.
Is it Morpheus claims that he's trying to save humanity from the evil robots, but his actions are pretty horrifying. The machines are using humans as batteries, like we remember. But the thing is, people in the Matrix aren't actually suffering.
That's true.
Because they're in a virtual reality. They don't know any different.
They don't know any better.
The only non-resistance humans that are killed in this movie are killed by Morpheus.
That's right. Like, well, I wish I could remember the characters' names. It's been a while since I remember it. But
right.
The guy that betrays them in the movie where he's just eating that steak and he goes, I know this is bits, but it tastes good. He's accepting like, this is better than the other thing. yeah, I don't want to remember. This is better than the other thing, and I want to live this way.
Yeah, because remember what they're eating? They're eating like some oatmeal mashup.
Yeah, some
just gruel.
Amino acids, yeah. Like in a slop.
And he's like, I want to have steak and potatoes again. He's looking, probably every time they went back into the virtual reality, he's looking around, he's like, these people, they don't realize anything and they're happy.
Right. So you think, yeah, that's a good point. That's another good one. I like this.
Here's another one. Evelyn Carnahan. From The Mummy.
Is that Rachel Weisz's character?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was, yeah, okay.
She's the villain because she read the, read the book that created the curse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well done.
And then people died, but we all look at the mummy as being the bad guy. You know, except for that final scene where the mummy, you know, all of a sudden there's like that sympathetic look in his face. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, when he's dying in the pool. Yeah, he was just doing what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be with the love of his life.
That, but he was just trying to become something again.
I always get wigged out when that guy died by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's a terrible way to go.
All right, you'll love this one. Doc Brown is actually a villain.
Yeah, absolutely. Without question.
And the example they put is that, okay, he went through all this trouble to get Marty back in time, and he realized how dangerous time travel is, where, you know, pictures evaporating, Marty almost disappearing from us on camera, not, you know, maybe Marty getting stuck in 1955, not being able to go back in time. And what's the first thing he does when Marty goes back into time? Creates a time machine.
Yeah, that's right. Creates a time machine, right. Exactly.
So, I mean, who's the real villain here? He's creating the machine that's kind of ruining time, and he keeps going back like, you know, it's like, oh, I wish I never invented the stupid machine. He's like, well, you did. You went right back to doing it.
I always thought that scene where Marty watches the time machine go in 1955, where it disappears, and then the second it disappears, that Western Union guy shows up.
Yeah.
I kind of love the continuity of that. Like I love the idea that he watched Doc Brown disappear, and then a second later, a letter that he sent 80 years ago shows up at where he was.
No,
because he went back to 1886, and then 1885, and then he went to... Oh, no.
You're right. You're right. No, that'd have been like
70 years, 60 years, whatever it was. And then he goes to 1955. Yeah. So, yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. No kidding. He's like, he knows the dangers of time travel, but he can't help himself.
Yeah, I'm going to skip over the Power Rangers here.
All right.
Jim and American Pie.
Jim and American Pie. Try to make this one work. Villain.
Well, I mean, he's the lovable hero.
That's right.
He's actually trying to take advantage of a woman.
Kind of, he is, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a creep, right?
That is kind of creepy.
After the Me Too, hashtag Me Too.
Right.
That would be frowned upon nowadays. That just because a woman was undressing in his bedroom and he set up a camera to spy on her and then go to said room because she's in there naked.
Oh, yeah.
That he thinks, because she's naked in my room, that obviously she wants something to happen.
It's amazing the thought process that we had when we made movies back then.
That wasn't that long ago.
No, it really wasn't.
How about this one? Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, I can see Ferris Bueller. Yeah, completely.
I mean, okay, he commits... The reason why is because he ditches school, but he commits a number of crimes. He steals his friend's dad's car.
Right. That was one of the reasons I said I could totally see this.
Commits several acts of fraud.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kidnaps his girlfriend.
Does, yep.
Impersonates her father, impersonates her father outside of a school under false pretenses. I mean, that would land you in jail.
That would. The stealing of the dad's car, his friend kept saying no, and he just got in the car.
If you watch it on like one of the basic cable channels, you know, he does claim that, you know, we can't drive Cameron's car because it's a piece of tin.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
And you see his mouth. Even my son picked up. I'm like, Dad, did he say 10? I'm like, no.
No.
Because the line I love is like, he's like, I don't even have a piece of tin of my own. I have to envy your piece of tin.
That's right. That's right. Doesn't he say that in the shower where he says, I could be the walrus, but it'd still have to bum rides off people?
Yep.
Yeah.
John Connor in The Terminator.
John Connor in The Terminator?
He's actually the villain, yeah.
Because he sent the Terminator back?
Because he sent the Terminator back.
causing some ripple in the time warp?
It's to save him.
To save him, okay, right.
And what happens? Damaged parts from a Terminator recovered by Cyber-9 systems, and Skynet was born.
Amazing.
Had he never sent anything back, right?
That's true.
If the Terminators have no reason to go back in time, then they'd accidentally wipe themselves out of existence.
Has anybody ever done like a full timeline of the Terminator from like when John Connor was a kid to like here's when the Terminator showed up, and then you did this, and then it sent off this, and then you did this, and so like as I get confused with all these movies as to exactly how all of this all lays out in the timeline of life. Like it seems like everybody's sending a Terminator back at various times, and the whole past is filled with robots that can melt and do all their crazy things. So, yeah, but yeah, I can see. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So these are all synonymous with the Astros.
Yeah. About that, I'll give you, maybe one final one here. I'll give you two more after this, because I know how much you like disaster movies. We got to look into that one. But how about this one, the Ghostbusters?
No. Okay, go ahead.
The Ghostbusters, detain ghosts and put them in an entrapment.
Yeah.
In an ecto-containment facility. And this article says another way to look at it is life imprisonment for minor vandalism.
Yeah, the ghosts, they
trapped them. What are they doing wrong?
But hold on. There's a reverse. The guy that is,
Walter Peck?
Yes. He's actually the good guy.
He is.
He's actually the good guy. Because he's like, okay, wait a minute. You've got like nuclear devices on your backpacks and whatnot. And he's trying to like give some sense of like rationality to all this. The Ghostbusters are just walking around with these laser beam nuclear bombs on the back of their, and he's just like, whoa, can we slow down for a second? Where are you putting those things? Oh, just putting them in the city. Don't worry. No big deal. He's like, wait a minute. No, we're not doing any of this stuff. Right,
he's actually.
I'm sorry. I don't think we should actually have that in a city of 14 million people. Like, you shouldn't be walking around with laser guns with like reactors on the back of your jackets. I don't know. Just a thought.
Walter Peck is the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in the movie, but he's actually doing the right thing. He would actually be doing something that the Environmental Protection Agency would probably do if this was real life.
It's the equivalent of the food inspector guy who goes to your favorite restaurant, maybe gives them a letter C grade.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, I love the food here, but why is it C? And it's like, well, if you saw what I just saw,
right,
you probably wouldn't want to eat here.
Exactly. I'm doing it for you. I'm not doing it to be a jerk. You don't know what I just saw, how they prepped the chicken. Yikes.
Yeah, the food may be delicious, but you know when the last time they cleaned that kitchen was?
That is crazy.
That's what the extra flavor is. And finally, because I know you like disaster movies.
Yes.
Bill Harding from Twister.
Yeah. Oh, totally. You mean to tell me he knows what a storm is thinking? Yeah, that guy?
Yeah, because he's a storm chaser.
Yeah.
Trying to get his ex-wife to sign divorce papers.
Totally.
Who happens to be a storm chaser. So what does he do? Drags his fiance from tornado
completely.
To tornado.
Completely.
And then breaks up with her. Actually, doesn't even break up with her.
Breaks up with him because he's a lunatic.
Well, no. He pines his love over a CB radio, remember?
Right, but she had enough of this. She, like, said, because he put her in the car with Duff, with Duffy.
Yeah.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman's character.
Food.
Yeah, him. Remember that? This is the one thing about that movie that is absolutely insane. They try to create the corporate guy as the villain because he's got corporate backing, but they're both trying to do the exact same thing, which is save lives.
Exactly.
They're both trying to create devices that give you information on how tornadoes are created quickly so that people can be alerted faster.
And the only reason why he's the villain is because he didn't think of it himself.
That's right.
He took an idea that they had thought of and got money, got sponsors to back it up.
Remember the big line? He goes, he got himself some corporate sponsors. He's in it for the money, not the science. If I live in Oklahoma, I couldn't care less if he's in it for the money or the science. Yep. If he can get me to the cellar 15 minutes earlier, God bless him.
If you want to pay him Jeff Bezos money,
I don't care.
He's able to predict when a tornado will hit, like an hour
before
it happens, I'm okay with
that. I'm okay with that. I'm great.
Gives me enough time to collect my belongings.
Yeah.
Say, let's go. If you know the path of the tornado, then maybe that gives us enough time to, like, you know, grab a few things that we don't want to be destroyed.
I'm sorry you cut your hands cutting Pepsi cans to make little wings where he might have had them mass produced at some factory in Asia. I couldn't care less. I seriously couldn't care less. So yeah, that movie stunk. All right, that's a good bit. That was fine. That was a good find. This is all for you, Houston. So you should feel better about your existence in Major League Baseball. We just laid it out. You're not the villain people are going to make you out to be.
Yeah,
there you go.
You're the Bill Harding, the Ghostbusters, the John Connor of
baseball.
That's
right. Not bad. Not a bad place to be. Not a bad company to keep. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Hey, Michael liked us, liked that villain segment. Said that was brilliant and very funny. So all props to you, Ron, for finding that. That was really good. We really just wanted the Astros to feel better. Given that they're now the new villains of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you know, that they're in the same park as the Ghostbusters or John Hammond.
That's exactly right. So I know it's going to be a long season. 162 games is a long season. If you got to carry that torch, there's a number of other people that carry that torch with you, Astros. When everybody's coming against you, remember, you're in good company. SB Nation AM.